Eric Hansen is not the kind of traveler who visits museums and monuments. He's more inclined to wriggle his way into the local economy by signing on as a hotel handyman on an island off the north coast of Australia, or by hatching a plan to smuggle dried fish into Sri Lanka. He is most likely, along the way, to take the time to meet the oddest collection of characters in cities and villages around the world and to listen to them. Hansen has collected some of these tales in a book of 9 essays called The Birdman and the Lap Dancer. He joins us from member station KQED in San Francisco. Welcome.
Good morning.
Let's go to Calcutta. Your time there was consumed by two passions, and one was shipping your steamer trunks. Tell us about that.
I was in Calcutta trying to send back two very large steamer trunks full of just really odds and ends that I'd collected across Asia, northern Afghanistan, northern Pakistan, India, Nepal. And I was stuck there with this bureaucratic snafu, just trying to get all the permits to send a large package out of Calcutta. And I met a French woman in the hotel where I was living, and I asked her what she was doing in Calcutta, and she said she was working for Mother Teresa, and this is in the mid-70s, and I'd never heard of Mother Teresa. And she invited me to go one day to look at the men's ward, and I walked in expecting to see, you know, dead and dying people, which is what I saw. But I had this extraordinary feeling when I walked in the door. It was so peaceful. It was a place for untouchables who were collected off the streets of Calcutta to die quietly with dignity. And basically what I did there was I would feed people, clean them, cut their hair, and most people, well, almost everyone that went there died within a week or so. And so I went back the second day and the third day, and I ended up working there for about 3 or 4 months. The title of the chapter is Life Lessons from Dying Strangers. And what I learned there was how people accept death as part of life. And it's so unlike being in the United States, where it's sort of a total negation that, you know, our time on Earth is limited. Working in Mother Teresa's, there was no illusion that anybody was going to live much longer than a week or so. And it was very peaceful. There were no alarms going off, no, you know, code blue. People died quietly and peacefully, and it had a very soothing effect on me.
Let's move around the world. In Central California, you somehow managed to find a wildlife biologist who hangs out with lap dancers, and lap dancers who elegantly discuss the philosophy and psychology of the work that they do. And that becomes the title of not just that story, but the whole book. Tell us about the Birdman and the Lap Dancer.
Well, I was at a dinner party about 5 years ago, and a friend of mine who works on habitat restoration in the Central Valley just let this story drop that, oh, I knew a sort of middle-aged, pudgy, Michael Moore-looking type ornithologist who took strippers out to look at wintering sandhill cranes and other migratory birds. And I thought this would make a great story. And it wasn't until I was almost done with this book that I thought, I want one more local story. I don't want just exotic destinations, you know, Australian outback, the, you know, Calcutta, and all these other places. And so when I was, when I finally met him, he turned in to be this, you know, sort of charming, sort of slightly nerdy ornithologist who lived with his mother. But in fact, he did have these very close friendships with, I guess they call them exotic dancers. And after about 2 months of interviewing the birdwatcher, I said, well, you know, I'm going to have to meet some of the girls. Well, none of them wanted to talk to me because I was a journalist. They keep their private lives completely separate from their professional lives. And so finally, one of the women decided that, okay, it'd be okay to do an interview with me. And I'm expecting, you know, big ratted blonde hair, probably cosmetically enhanced breast. I was expecting the total stereotype of a stripper. And this woman walks in looking so demure and well-groomed, and she turns out to be an English lit major, former Catholic school girl, an authority on Aristotle's influence on St. Thomas Aquinas. And it just reminded me why I love to write and why I like to pursue stories, because I never know where they're going to take me.
When you were 25, you were in the South Pacific on a trawler, and you essentially jumped ship on Thursday Island.
I was on this prawn trawler, and we had survived Cyclone Tracy off the north coast of Australia. And we'd been at sea for like 4 or 5 months. And we got off on Thursday Island, and I ended up in this hotel where I just had miraculous experiences with people.
Tell us what you discovered at the Grand Hotel. You worked there.
Well, the Grand Hotel was this raucous, violent, degenerate waterfront hotel and bar that had, Somerset Maugham had stayed there, Douglas Fairbanks had stayed there. People would gather at the Grand Hotel every night to tell stories, to dance, to fist fight, both men and women. The first guy I met picked a fight with me, and I told him that, no, I wasn't interested in fighting him because he might slip in my blood and hurt himself. And so I sort of got on with the Islanders really well. And I thought, I want to stay here. This is interesting. And this is long before I became a writer, but I realized that I had this hunger for odd and unusual stories of people's lives. And the bar of the Grand Hotel was it was a gold mine for strange people. And so I asked the owner of the Grand Hotel if there was any work, and he said, well, can you do any carpentry work? And I said, yeah, I've got a set of carpenter's tools on the boat. And my job was to get up each morning at dawn and rebuild the furniture that was broken, put doors back on their hinges, replace windows, replace toilets. I mean, people went through this bar and probably 2 or 3 times a week, completely demolished it. And the idea was to have everything back in working order by 1 o'clock in the afternoon when they opened the doors again. And 20 years later, the Australian Tourist Commission asked me to come back to Australia and I could write about any part of the country. And this was to promote tourism, of course, but instead I went back to this totally degenerate waterfront bar where I'd met all these people. And I wanted to sort of catch up with what had happened to their lives in the intervening years.
There is a passage that I'd like you to read to us about your visit to that same island where you were. Could you read to us from page 44?
I thought about Alfie and Kazuyoshi and the denizens of the Grand Hotel. How profoundly different my life would have been if I'd decided to stay on the islands. I could have easily found work on the fishing boats or as a carpenter or builder on Thursday Island. My mind was filled with 20 years' worth of imaginary opportunities lost and gained. I walked with Kazuyoshi to the wharf, where Alfie was sitting in the sun laughing. He gently yanked his fishing line and smiled to himself. Kazuyoshi handed Alfie a bag of dried pearl shell meat. We cast off our mooring lines, and at sunset we crossed the main shipping channel and returned to Thursday Island for one last evening at the Grand Hotel. Some people say you can never go home, or return to a place once loved, or recapture a friendship left behind. Time, life, circumstances, and fate all have their way of changing who we are and altering beyond all recognition memories or feelings until they seem like part of a dream or an illusion. But I knew I had to go back to Thursday Island, and I'm glad that I didn't wait any longer than I did. A few months after my visit, I received a short note from Alfie Mills. He had news for me. An early morning fire had swept through the wood frame structure of the Grand Hotel and burned it to the ground.
Travel writer Eric Hansen's latest book of essays is The Birdman and the Lap Dancer, Close Encounters with Strangers, published by Pantheon Books. He joined us from KQED in San Francisco. Thanks. Safe travels.
Thank you very much.
You can read an excerpt from The Birdman and the Lap Dancers at our website, npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News.